How are you out there? Good. We serve a good God. We serve a good God. If you have your Bibles with you, we have all of a few minutes still remaining. Open it up to Matthew chapter 5. Last week we talked about those who are poor or humble in spirit, as well as those who mourn. And while the world would look at those who live humbly and say, you know, you got to be a certain way, you got to be like this, you got to be like that. If you're not, oh, I'm sorry. I was looking down there. Thank you, Brother Joshua. You were on it. Praise God. I'm like, I don't see any water. Didn't dawn on me to look right here. Praise God. Thank you. The world will look and frown upon the things that Jesus says we are, the way that we're supposed to live as sons and daughters of the Most High God, but we need to follow Jesus. We need to follow this pattern that he's established. And last week I had you look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 1. You see where he went up the mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and then he began to teach. And then in Matthew chapter 8, verse 1, you see that he comes down the mountain. And when he comes down the mountain, he goes to work. After teaching and demonstrating and saying, this is how you're supposed to live, this is how you're supposed to be, this is how you're supposed to respond, don't go with no eye for eye, tooth for tooth type thing. You know, don't, you know, if they slap you on one cheek, turn the other to them. You know, he starts teaching. It's like, whoa, it seems like people are going to be getting away with a whole lot of stuff around here. And they're just going to be walking over us like we're just, carpet to be walked on. But then he goes and releases the power of God. And that's basically what he's teaching us, is how to operate in the power of God. And so tonight we're going to look at just three of these, I believe, if we can get through all of them. So let's begin Matthew chapter 5, verse 5. Let's go there. No, not verse 5, verse 6. It is verse 5, okay. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Amplified says it like this, excuse me. Blessed, happy, blithesome, joyous, spiritually prosperous. Now those words sound very good, hallelujah. And according to the Greek, that's what the word blessed means. Happy, blithesome, joyous. I think that's how you pronounce that word. Joyous, spiritually prosperous, with life, joy, and satisfaction in God's favor and salvation, regardless of their outward conditions. Hallelujah. In other words, the outward conditions don't control what goes on inside our lives or inside our heart, inside our inner man, if you will. In other words, Jesus is teaching us that we don't allow those external things to affect the internal, who we really are, the inner man. I mean, this is just a shell. It's just a house that I live in, just as yours, your body, is just a house that you live in. You are a spirit, for you've been born again. You have a soul, mind, will, and emotions, your intellect and all. And you live in a body. So you are triune man, if you will. And your soul is really you. It's your feelings, your emotions. It's your thoughts, if you will. It's what makes you you. It's your identity. It's what distinguishes you from others, if you will. You can go through life and you can see people that kind of look like somebody. You ever been around or went to another place and then saw somebody that looked like somebody that you knew from another place that you were from? And you're like, man, they look like so-and-so. But if you start to talk to them, you see that there's something different about them. Their features may be the same, but they're not. And they don't necessarily have to be related, but they can have similar features, if you will. And so your soul, your mind, your will, and emotions, that's you. That's your makeup, if you will. External things should not control how your soul responds or how your soul feels or how your soul reacts. Your spirit that was born again, that was spiritually dead prior to you receiving Jesus, that's the part of you that contacts God, has communion with God, fellowship with God. That's where the Spirit of God resides in your spirit, if you will. And so external things, whether it be, you know, you lost your job. Well, okay, you still have your soul, bless God. Well, what am I going to do? Well, what did you do before you got the job? I went out and put applications in. Well, hello, you already got an idea of what you need to do. Amen. Or, you know, something happens that was unexpected, and it can hit you, it can affect you, and before you know it, you can start living through that thing. Last week, I used death as an illustration of a loved one, and it wasn't to harbor or labor on it, neither tonight as well, but death has a way of affecting us. And if we're not careful, we will die with the person that died. We'll stop living. We'll stop going. We'll stop being who we were. You know, while they were alive, we were okay and just going on through life. But after they die, all of a sudden, it just affects us so much. And it's not supposed to. You know, just because one person goes on doesn't mean you stop living. And I use that illustration because it's interesting to me that something like that would happen, to where I would hear my father's voice, and not that I in tune or not that I communicate with him because he's gone in that regards. No disrespect in what I'm saying that. But he's no longer here, and so I don't communicate with him because his days are over. But to hear at that funeral, you got to go on. You got to live. You can't just die. Don't focus on this body. It's like, wow, now, then I was hurt because it's like that's my dad, if you will. But now it's like, wow, because you see so many, they die with the person and they no longer live. Well, Jesus doesn't want us to be affected in that way. And so he says here, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth, if you will. And the meek are simply those that are mild and those that are humble. Now, in the world, they don't think that, you know, being mild and humble will get you anywhere. You know, you got to be aggressive. You got to be assertive. You got to be this. You got to be that. And rightly so, it gets you places in the world. But you got to decide on whether you're going to live in the kingdom or you're going to still live in the world that Jesus has delivered you from. Is that making any sense? You got to be bold. You got to be aggressive. And yes, and I believe you have to do that even in the realm of the spirit. But there's just a certain characteristic, a certain attitude and mindset of the believer that separates and distinguishes them from the ways of the world. And this is what Jesus is teaching, because he's not teaching about just living in the world. He's teaching about living in the kingdom in the world. And this is kingdom characteristics or kingdom traits. So he says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. In Psalms chapter 37, you can go there. David says this. In verse 11, But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. People underestimate or they misinterpret meekness. They consider it to be a weakness of a person. They're not strong. They're a weak individual, if you will. And as I said last week, and you probably heard it before from others, meekness is simply power under control. Jesus was meek and lowly. He was not weak, but he was meek and lowly. Jesus walked on the water. Jesus cast out devils. Jesus healed the sick. Jesus cleansed the lepers. Jesus raised the dead. That's power. That's power. And yet Jesus was meek and lowly. And so the point is that even though the world operates in a certain way, a certain standard, if you will, just because they do does not mean that we have to. In other words, if God says live this way and the world says you got to do it this way, you make a choice. You're either going to do it like the world or you're going to do it like Jesus says. And in the world, they expect you to have this certain mindset, attitude about you if you want to be, quote unquote, successful. I don't know about you, but Jesus was pretty successful, bless God. Jesus told Peter, because they're asking him about taxes, Peter, go down to the lake, go down to the Sea of Galilee, throw your hook in the water, the first fish that you catch, open up its mouth, pull out a coin, and then go pay my taxes and your taxes too. And yet he was meek. And yet he was lowly. The scripture says this. It says, he was like a lamb before its shearers, and he didn't open his mouth. That's what Isaiah prophesied. Let's go there. I want to read that to you. Isaiah chapter 53. How can I be meek? I'll give you another word that kind of goes along the same line of humility. And it's a word that many people struggle with. It's called submission. It is submission to the will of the one who has authority over you. That's humility. That's meekness. That's mildness. Isaiah chapter 53. And let's see here. We'll begin at verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Power under control. Understand, Jesus cast out devils, healed the sick, raised the dead, cleansed the lepers, walked on water, turned water to wine. Jesus, the same Jesus, he was oppressed and he was afflicted. Well, let's look at that. I don't have it. Okay, I'll use this. Let's look at that. The Bible plainly says in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, how God hath anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good, healing all of those who were, in the Amplified, harassed and oppressed by the devil because God was with him. So where did the oppression come from? Where did the afflictions come from? The oppressions and the afflictions were the afflictions and oppressions of the people. For surely it says, who hath believed thy report? Who is the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up as a tender plant. Verse 3, he is despised and rejected of men, a man acquainted, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. So it was us, and everything that Jesus took upon the cross, that was us. It was our afflictions. It was our oppression. It was our sin, if you will, fornication, adultery, idolatry, you name it, whatever sin it was ours that was laid on him. And yet Jesus was humble, meek, and lowly. Because even though these things were happening to him, what was happening? Even though he was being beaten, it wasn't because of anything that he had did. And he could have at any time said, Father, enough. Father, I'm not taking it no more. Father, I'm not going through it anymore. Father, enough. He could have called 12 legions of angels down and just wiped everybody out. Power under control. What's the point? The point is this, is that external things should not be controlling what's going on the inside of us. We don't need to be moved by the external things that are going on, whether they're mistreating us or whether they are blessing us. We ought to be still the same in our relationship and walk with God. I hope that makes sense to you. So it goes on and it says, all we like sheep are gone astray. Everyone has turned his own way. He was oppressed, verse 7, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. That's some pretty harsh treatment to deal with. Because we can fly off the handle for any small little thing. And what we need to do is consider our master. So when Jesus says, blessed are the meek, well, no, I gotta give them a piece of my mind. I gotta let them know that they were wrong. I gotta let them know what they did. No, you don't. Because in reality, it's not you they're doing it to. If you're standing for Jesus. Now, if you're standing for yourself and you're living for yourself, yeah, they're doing it to you. They're doing it to you. But if you're living for Jesus and they do this, this is why Jesus says it's not you that they reject. If they reject you, they reject me. If they reject me, they reject the one who sent me. We die. We die to ourselves. We let him have this vessel, this body, and let him do what he wills with it. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. Meekness is it's a tough subject. It's a tough subject in the kingdom. Because we come out of the world, and we come, whether we're a choleric or a melancholy or a sanguine, or a phlegmatic, if you will. Those are the four divisions that they have divided, you know, humanity's traits and I forget the name that they call it, temperaments, if you will. Your temperaments is divided into four categories, and you can be blended in some of those areas, or you can be just strongly dominant in, you know, one of those particular areas. But in all of that, you got to bring it to the cross and submit it to the lordship of Jesus Christ. Amen? This is why even with evangelism, you don't have to be an evangelist to go and evangelize. Praise God. It's something anybody and everybody can do. Pray, you got a mouth? Yes. Can you repeat this? Yes. Okay, you can go evangelizing. Praise God. It has nothing to do with, I wasn't cut out for that. I wasn't made for that. I'm not that type of person. It has nothing to do with that. If any man or woman be in Christ, what is he or she? What is he or she? So whatever you was before coming to Christ, you are that no longer. Now you are who you are in Christ Jesus. And whatever he says you are, that's what you are. And if he calls you a disciple, you're a disciple. Amen. If he calls you a follower, you're a follower. Praise God. If he says, go preach the gospel, you go preach the gospel. You don't go back to him and say, well, I'm just not that type of person. The other word for humility is what? Somebody's listening to me. It's submitting to the will of one who's over you. And that can be challenging if you're used to living your own life and doing things your own way. It can be very challenging, but it's a challenge. And, you know, with God, he probably don't even like the word challenge. He's probably upset that we keep repeating this word challenge, because God is like, challenge nothing, do. Praise God. Just do. Praise God. Obey. Obedience is better than all of the sacrifice. So it's like, what you challenging? What trying to get? You trying to perk them up to obey me? Just tell them, this is my command. Does that make sense to you? I just had a conversation with God and you at the same time. What am I saying? Because this is about advancing the kingdom. And Jesus, he took, this was probably the most important sermon that Jesus preached with all of his disciples on that mount. And he's sharing with them about the kingdom of God. Because I'm telling you, when he comes down, it's all about the work. And he goes and he performs miracles, and then he sends out the 12. And then he sends out the 70. And it's all about actions. And it's more actions. And it's like actions, little teaching. Actions, little rebuking. Actions, you know, and that's what it's. But this sermon here is like the sermon of all sermons. This is what it's all about, boys. This is why I've called you. Now let's go to work. Amen. And so they turned the world upside down. Of course, we know that when the Holy Ghost came, it was just all over. What they tasted and experienced while they were on the earth with Jesus for those 3.5 years, they got much more than that when they got the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost. You don't see it written that Peter walked down the street where people were laying people out in the street so that at least his shadow could touch them and heal them. But after the Holy Ghost came upon Peter, you see that that's what they did. Jesus sent them out. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils, cleanse the lepers. Freely you receive, freely you give. But then when we start hearing in the book of Acts about everything that they were doing, it's like, man, the Holy Ghost came and boom. And it wasn't just them. It wasn't just 120. It was the 3,000. It was the 5,000. They were scattered everywhere. And everywhere that they went, they were preaching the word of God. It wasn't just the apostles. It was all of those that were getting saved daily in the temple. And in every house, they ceased not to preach Jesus. That's written in the Bible in the book of Acts. Daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to preach. That was the mindset of the church then, and it ought to be the mindset of the church now. Because it's like, how did we get away from that? You know, what infiltrated the camp to remove us from daily worship? Because whatever did, it also took away the power and the glory. The people gathered on a day. It wasn't like they didn't have any jobs or anything like that. They worked. They worked. They had possessions and all. But the people were blessed even under persecution. Persecution didn't stop them. When Herod killed James, he saw that it pleased the people. So he went after Peter. Well, I'll take Peter too. I believe that's in the Bible. I'll take Peter too. And so he put Peter in jail. But what did the saints do? What did they do? Why did they pray? Why did they pray?
because he was, that's it, he was, to set him free. He was in jail. They wanted Peter out of jail. So they came together and they prayed. And an angel comes as a result of their intercessions and prayers and delivers Peter out of the jail and takes him right to the house that they're praying in. What am I saying? Herod thought, well, the people really liked that. They enjoyed that I killed James. So let me do the same to Peter because it's pleasing the people. But the church, there's a difference. The people and the church, the religious, and then the saints, the redeemed ones that had a true relationship with God, the people, the religious ones were happy, but the saints were praying. And when they prayed, God moved and set Peter free. So the church wasn't rejoicing. The church started praying. And the church didn't back up. The church advanced. Amen. And that's the way it's got to be in this day and time too. But it's got to be a daily mindset. It's not just a, you know, limited to a Wednesday or a Sunday. And, you know, those should be our, like, our high days. Like, yeah, praise God. We get to come together with the rest of the saints of God and talk about the good things that God has done. All these days that we've been apart, God's been moving. Hallelujah. Because we didn't put no lock on him or shut him down until Sunday. We released him. Praise God. We took him to Jesus. We took him to the job with us. We took him to the marketplace. We took him to the schools. We took him everywhere we went. We didn't leave him at the church. Daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to preach Jesus. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. We're like this. Is that all you talk about? I don't want to be around. Saints of God say this. I don't want to be around you because that's all you talk about is Jesus. Daily in the temple and in every house, they cease not to preach Jesus because there's always somebody that needs salvation. There's always somebody that needs a healing and a miracle. There's always somebody that needs a touch from God. Hallelujah. It's whether we're going to be sensitive enough to the Spirit of God that he might be able to use us in that fashion. And don't be moved if you pray for somebody and you don't see the manifestation of the healing. That's not your responsibility. Your responsibility is to lay hands on the sick and to pray for them that they may be healed. The healing comes from Jesus. Remember what I shared? Well, you can clap if you want to. Praise God. It ain't for me. It's for the Lord. Go ahead. Go ahead and clap, Alberto. Praise God. Thank God for your fire, man. Thank God for your fire. Hallelujah. Praise God. I can't release y'all. Praise God. That whole row will be filled up with y'all and more. Bless God. But Todd White, is that his name? And I share it with you. How he said he went out there and he prayed for thousands, like 1,000 people or something like that, before he started seeing healings. First of all, he kept on going even if he didn't see the manifestation. Then the manifestation comes and he's just continuing to go. Just as if it was when it wasn't happening, he just continued in it. And so you just keep on going. You just keep on going. Because sometimes God wants to see your sincerity. Sometimes he wants to see our motives. What is it and why is it that we want the power to heal? Who do we want to draw them to us or do we want to draw them to him? You know, how far are you going to go with this? And it's like, no, your word says this. And so, you know, if they don't get healed, it's your fault. Praise God. I'm just the vessel. I'm not looking to draw the attention to me. You got to do this thing. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. So this is what it's all about. Advancing the kingdom. I don't know how long we're going to go on this, but meat was pretty good. I didn't even get to the rest of them. The rest of them are hunger and thirst after righteousness. That's next week. Praise God. But who y'all did that at the same time? Who was that? Who? Both of you.
Praise God. Now, y'all two brothers, y'all two cousins or what? Praise God. Okay, praise God. But remember this. Matthew 5 to Matthew 8. Up the mountain, sits, set in place, starts to teach. Chapter 8, verse 1. Down the mountain, time to go to work. Okay? He demonstrates, and then he releases them to go. And this is why, this is what helps the kingdom grow. Praise God. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet. I'm done. I'm done for tonight. Thank you, Jesus. I hope that plot wasn't because I'm done, you know, but it's like, you know, praise God for what was shared, Pastor. I'm just having fun with you. I love you all so much. Pastor Lucille loves you. And we just thank God for what he's doing. Hallelujah. QLM this Saturday. All right, invite others. Hallelujah. And if nobody comes for us, but us, you know we're going to have a blessed time anyways, but invite some others that they may join in and glorify Jesus. Any prayer requests? Amen. Do you know his name? That's okay. Okay. And you know what's wrong with him? Okay. And it's your friends? Okay. All right. Well, the Holy Ghost knows, so praise God. Father, we come before you tonight with thanksgiving. Thank you for speaking to us tonight. We come into agreement with Brother Alberto and this individual that is sick, elderly man, grandfather, don't know exactly the relationship. But Lord, we cover him in the precious blood of Jesus. We pray for a healing in his physical body that he may know that you are Jehovah Rapha, the God that heals, that Jesus was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement for our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Lord, give him a miracle in the name of Jesus. Deliver him. Deliver him. Deliver him from whatever the infirmity, for whatever the affliction, whatever the sickness is, deliver him. Set him free. Raise him up. Make him whole. We promise to give you all the glory. Father, we lift up before you tonight Ron Ward. We cover he and his wife, Reverend Kitty Ward. We plead the blood of Jesus Christ over their lives. We pray over Ron. Father, remove the cancer from his body. Deliver him from oppression and depression and discouragement. Deliver him from the frustrations that life would put him in. Set him free by your mighty power and your outstretched arm. Reach up there, Lord God, into the state of Washington and touch, put your hand on him, Master, and heal him and make him whole. And Lord God, restore his fortunes. Restore his fortunes. For the sins that he's committed against you, forgive him, cleanse him, wash him, perfect everything that concerns him, and restore his fortunes to you, to him. That he may glorify you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Raise him up. Daily let him sense your presence. Daily let him sense your strength. Daily let him experience your anointing power coming upon him. Make him that man of God you called him to be in the name of Jesus. Let not his intellect interfere. Let not his ways interfere. But let him humble himself before you, Father, in the name of Jesus. And you minister healing and wholeness to him. I cover every saint of God in here in the precious blood of Jesus. I rebuke sickness out of our midst in the name of Jesus. Anything and everything from a cold to the aching of the bones. I lift up Sister Jernigan. I pray that you'll minister healing in her physical body from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet. Down her neck, Lord God, where the stiffness and the pain is. I pray that you deliver her. Deliver your daughter from that pain in Jesus' name.
Take it away now, Master. Take it away now in the name of Jesus. I pray, Father, that you cover each and every one of us in the precious blood of Jesus Christ, where the enemy toucheth us not, for he cannot cross that bloodline. Father, bless your sons and daughters. The Lord our God bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you. Be gracious unto you. Lift up his countenance on you and give you his peace. The name of the Lord be over you and your household, that he might bless you, that you may enjoy the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And above all else, you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. That the gates of hell will not prevail against you, but you will triumph over the gates of hell, because you are the church of the living God. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand of praise. All right.